B-Pod Studios.
Here are Zoak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Very good. I mean, even the last play in the overtime to play the puck beyond his toes, that's an area that's been a challenge for him at times this year. So he was in the game. But stopping the puck, he saw it well. Like I said, the second goal is a hell of a tip by Thomas. That's just a real athletic play by a good player. So can't really fault him. Power play goal again. They beat our pressure, made a nice play. So he was there for us and certainly gave us a chance. And I thought their guy did too. Both goalies played well and someone has to win.
Bruins get a win last night in overtime over the Blues.
I love Tom trolling the Blues. This is great.
I am most concerned about one thing, and that is the health of Pastrnak and Lindholm. And it almost feels like the Bruins are starting to run out of time a little bit on these two guys. Here's what I think is the good news. I think that they have plenty to tread water and make sure they are the first wild card team to avoid a less advantageous matchup. We'll call it that if okay. They were to slip into the second wild card. So it feels like it's going to be Carolina. That's what it feels like right now.
Or it could be the Rangers. The Rangers and Carolina are sort of
true.
You know, neck and neck there.
We're watching the scoreboard every night. So that's one thing. But don't these guys have to play just a little bit as a tune-up before the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean,
don't they need that?
Ideally, you would think that you'd be able to get them in there to do, especially we've seen this before with Pastrnak, right? When he comes back sometimes after these injuries as a goal scorer, it can take him a little while to find sort of that goal scoring touch. You know, Lindholm, I'm not quite as worried about in terms of if he misses some time, being on the blue line, although I guess that might be a knee injury. So that's his whole game is mobility and moving the puck. So if he can't do that, but I mean, Pastrnak is one of your big guns. What's been your problem in the playoffs the last couple of years? Not enough scoring depth. If you pull him, it's like you're
trickle down
a Jenga thing. If you pull that piece out, the whole thing's going to collapse. He's not giving you goals.
As Bruce Cassidy said, Pasta's been here a lot of years. He's a timing guy. He needs to play.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning he needs to get into a rhythm prior to the playoffs. Fluto Schinzauer writes this for The Athletic. He says it's possible the two will be cleared to practice with their teammates on Friday. The session will not be a high intensity one. The Bruins will have landed in Boston from Pittsburgh early Friday morning. It may be enough of a dress rehearsal for Pastrnak and Lindholm to receive the green light to play Saturday against the Rangers. So, he says all of this would assume that things proceed well for Pastrnak and Lindholm. That has not always been the case. When Pastrnak got hurt against Columbus on April 4th and Lindholm exited the following night, the medical staff did not believe either player would be unavailable for this long. That's the part of this that scares me a little bit. They're already beyond what they thought their injury time would be. And so Bruce Cassidy has repeatedly said, on multiple occasions, he has made a point to say, we are not being extra cautious. This is not about giving them extra time. They just aren't ready to play yet. Okay, so are the injuries worse than initially thought? Clearly the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And if they're worse than initially thought, do you even have a firm grasp on the timeline anymore? Because that's what happens.
Yeah.
When you overshoot the timeline, you overshoot what you expected. Well, now where are you? You're in no man's land now. Are they going to be ready or not?
I mean, my gut would be they'll be ready, but they might not have the sort of prep time in terms of regular season games, whether that last regular season game against the Maple Leafs or whatever that you would want them to have. And that could have an effect on you early in a playoff series. Now, let's see where you land here. You're only 1 point behind the Tampa Bay Lightning, for the third spot in your division with six games to play. So, maybe you end up playing the Maple Leafs. I would feel pretty good again. I know the Maple Leafs have set records for points and wins and all this stuff this year, but traditionally the way that matchup has gone, and I still feel like Toronto has to figure out the goaltending, even though Jack Campbell was strong last night. I like the Bruins better against Toronto than I do if they're ending up playing, say, you know, the Rangers, or if they fall all the way to the bottom wild card and have to play the Panthers.
Swayman gives up 2 goals on 22 shots last night. How did he look, T-Bone? How did he look? Give me a grade on Swayman.
Better than he's looked.
Trending in the right direction is Jeremy Swayman. Is there a chance that Jeremy Swayman could overtake the number one goalie spot prior to the start of the playoffs?
I think so. I mean, I think you have to sort of go with who's the guy that has the most upside. Like, if you're looking at, if you're the Bruins and you're saying, who's a guy that could get hot? Like, who's a guy that has the potential to get, you know, Tuukka Rask sort of hot up until the Stanley Cup final, you know, the way he did in 2013, or a guy that can maybe get, you know, Patrick Waugh hot in like 93. I think it's Swayman. Like, I think Swayman might have a greater variance at this point, which is risky, but I also think he has the higher ceiling. Plus, I think he's your goaltender of the future. So eventually you're going to want him to be the guy. I would go with him. And I thought Cassidy was pretty complimentary of him last night.
Yeah, I think he was. And I just think that at this point, he has the door wide open with Omar getting hurt.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. I mean, it's bad luck for Omar. He was playing well. Swayman was not. Now Swayman's got an opportunity to take it back. I agree with all everything you're saying, that he's the goalie of the future, that he's got a higher ceiling long term, all of that. But I also would not use those as reasons to start him. Okay. I love the guy.
Well,
but
is that because you feel like, because one of the things for me with the Bruins, and I've said this consistently, and I mean, obviously trade deadline's long gone, but at this point, for me, the Bruins should be like the LA Rams of the NHL. Like, forget the picks, forget the prospects. Like, we're trying to win now because we have Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand.
Which is why I go with whoever's playing the best in the moment.
I got you.
So if that's all market, which it has been for the month, and again, injury aside now, which is now a new element to this, but prior to the injury, I was saying, well, you got to go with Omar. He's a guy who's playing well.
I just don't think you can win a Stanley. Again, but going back to my point.
But neither one of these guys is established or has ever gone on a playoff run or has any resume of that.
I think Omar sort of, I can't see, like, the same way I sort of feel like, oh, you know, can you win an NBA championship if Marcus Smart's your third best player? I sort of feel like, can you win a Stanley Cup if Linus Allmark's your number one goalie?
You're going to fight it if he's the hotter hand, though?
I think I am, because I just don't feel like he's... I mean, the Bruins have played such a good defensive system for so long. If you want to argue with that, going back to Claude Julien, that the system will do most of the work and you just need sort of a solid goaltender. But I think in the playoffs, when they face some of these other teams that have more depth and firepower than them, you're going to need a goalie who's a difference maker. And I don't think Omar can be that for multiple series. I just don't. Maybe I'm basing it too much on what his career was in Buffalo and playing on some really bad teams. I mean, he's good. But do I see him rising to the level that, like, Tim Thomas did during the Cup run? No. And I think for the Bruins to get back to another Stanley Cup final, like, people rip on Rask, and I get it, but they also forget that, like, the times he made it to the Stanley Cup final, right up into the final, his numbers were tracking exactly the same as Tim Thomas's in 2011. Exactly the same. Because I remember this from covering these two Cup runs. The numbers were, like, identical, or in some cases even slightly better for Tuukka. That's just to get you there. And then everyone forgets about that when they lose. You know, when you lose to Chicago in 6 and you lose Game 7 in your own building to St. Louis, everybody forgets about that. But you don't even get in those situations without the goalie playing the way that he's playing and playing out of his mind. And I just don't think Allmark's capable of that for multiple series. I don't.
All right, we got Bruins in the mix now, too. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to Kyrie Irving and the Celtics as they prepare for Game 2 tonight at the Garden. Red Sox thoughts on the table as well. All of that, your calls on the way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over it with a tire.
More headlines in 30 minutes.
Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. Beetle, Gasper, Barth, you're on Zolak and Bertrand. Let's go back to the phones, as promised, with Matt in Framingham. Hi, Matt.
So, Mark, Chris, I'm gonna tell you what really grinds my gears about the whole NHL app thing. It's not just the fact that, you know, you can't watch it on the TV and you can't just flip it off or whatever. It's a freaking shot at helping the millennials, because half the time they're on their damn phones at games anyways. All they want to do is they want to go on TikTok or Instagram, and all the other crap that I hate to a large degree. And then you got the case of my dad, who's a diehard Bruins fan, doesn't know jack about this crap. And it takes me an hour to teach him this stuff. And afterwards, he's like, can you do it again? You do it again? It's aggravating. It's like, sooner or later now, you're going to have to just simply go on an internet service to get the freaking networks on ABC and NBC. I mean, it's stupid.
Wow. That's a strong take.
He's not wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being on the apps. It's great. You're expanding your audience. You're going to put it in places where other people are watching and consuming content. Great. Can you still put it on the other thing? Like, you're just pissing off your fans.
Yeah, I know. But I think
there are a lot of people who just won't tune in. Like, this is what it is. It's that the leagues are most concerned with their revenues, and they care about just making sure that the check from ESPN clears and not really focusing on providing a product to your customers,
although,
your fan base.
Although, in fairness,
it's stupid.
In fairness to the NHL, though, and because you had the original take and you said, hey, I admit I was wrong.
Yeah.
I do think there was an element here for the NHL thinking, if we have a business partnership with ESPN again, then our sport overall is going to get more promotion, and that's better for us, because they sort of.
But that hasn't happened.
I know, but I think they thought it would.
I also didn't realize that the app thing was going to be so prevalent when this happened.
Yeah.
I thought it was more about a deal to be on their networks.
No.
As opposed to what it's become.
Yeah, they want, you know, all these
devil in the
streaming
details
sites
there.
And we have them all. You know, they're all trying to entice you with content that makes you sign up for their service, or at least, you know, makes you use somebody's pass. Did you see the thing the other day? Like, Netflix had a terrible quarterly earnings.
They lost 200,000 plus customers.
And so they're talking about a way where, like, basically they'll limit people
password sharing.
Correct. Which would be a disaster for yours truly.
You can't buy your own Netflix account?
Oh, I mean, I could, but I don't.
He's using Beatles.
I have a very thoughtful family.
Okay, Derek Forbert.
Let's say Forbert. Yeah, and your parents' cell phone plan still, too?
No comment.
You're not.
Come on.
Don't tell me you are.
No comment.
That's being a good son.
Gasper is on his parents' cell phone plan. Add him to the Wall Street Journal story. Oh, my. That is, in a word,
it benefits everybody.
Pathetic.
It benefits everybody. It's you know, it's savings for the entire family.
Oh, that's bad. Phil's in Connecticut today. Hi, Phil. You child. Yeah, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So my point on Kyrie is if everybody just gives him negative energy, he just fuels off of that, and he does really well. And because he's a contrarian, and he always has been, he needs something to fight against, you know? So when he was in Boston and we gave him love, he didn't really perform to his best even when he was with us. So that's what the fans should do is that, and then he wouldn't know what to do.
I see. I agree. I agree with that call. And I'm not saying you have to like cheer him, but he's right. Kyrie is the ultimate contrarian, and he does sort of feed off being like he feeds off being involved in these dramas where he's the center of attention, because above all else, he's about himself. So as much as he might not like this and people shouting stuff at him, he likes being the center of attention. He does feed off that. He is fueled by it. And like I said to you before, I would feel differently about this from a fan standpoint if it were working. Like if you were getting in the guy's head and it was affecting his performance. But it's not. The last two times he's played in a playoff game here, he's lit you
so
up.
So that I do find a little fraudulent from you, that you're saying dial it back and calm it down because the next steps could get ugly.
Yes.
But if it were working, you'd be all in favor of it? You'd be like, yay, it's great. Good for you.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's great, but I would be like, okay, I see why
that
you're doing
justified?
It. It's done well. I mean, I would say I would say that it's not justified, but it's I understand why you're doing it because it's helping your team win, and that's what fans want to do. So while I personally wouldn't do it, I would look at it and say I understand because it's you think it's contributing to winning. But in this case, where it's not contributing to winning at all, it's actually having the opposite effect. It's inflaming the guy to play well. And where, like, I guess my question is, where's the win here? Like, what's the upside of this? Where's the win of doing this? Because I don't see it. It's not affecting his performance. We're sort of skirting that line where something bad could happen. And it's sort of, I think, maybe fueling in some other places a certain narrative about the city, whether that's fair or not. So where's the win in this for to continue to do? Is it Kyrie getting fined the $50,000?
Entertainment, fun.
Are you just happy? Are you just happy that Kyrie's $50,000 lighter? Like, is that the win?
No, I don't think anyone cares about that. I think they don't like the guy, and they're enjoying needling the player. Although it's not benefiting the team.
Yeah.
It's actually maybe even harming the team.
Yes.
By, you know, poking the bear.
So it's just cathartic to just.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's scratching an itch. That's all it is.
I think I said this to you off here, I'll bring it on here. I just think it sort of makes certain, not all fans, but certain fans, you sort of come off like the unhinged boyfriend or girlfriend that just can't let it go to me. Like 3 years later, to this degree of animosity towards him, it's like not healthy. Like it's just, you want to boo him. But I mean, some of the other stuff that we talked about at the beginning of the show and how sort of like over the top it is at this point, I don't get it.
If Kyrie does not react in game one to the crowd.
Yeah.
Doesn't flip. And by the way, I saw another video that someone sent us of him flipping the crowd off as he came out of the tunnel. I didn't even know that had happened.
Really?
He's running out in the row of players running out, and he throws up the double birds then,
too. Wait, so this is coming onto the court?
Coming onto the court.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't even know who could have had time to say anything to him.
So he was primed.
With how fast he was doing it, which is part of what I think he's doing. I think he knows that this sort of motivates him and keeps him going.
Okay.
And that's why he has engaged in it, because it's helping him and he knows it. And he's sort of looking for it. And he kept going down the tunnel during the game, which I thought was him trying to bait a fan into saying something. Because I think he feeds off it and he knows it. And so I think that that's a factor for him, that he sort of wants to buy into that and wants to keep that going. And so I wonder if he doesn't react the other night and he gives the crowd nothing, doesn't acknowledge them, doesn't flip them off, doesn't even respond to that fan who says, Kyrie, you suck. Mm-hmm. And he goes out and he has the game that he does. Or just whatever happens. Maybe he had a bad game if he doesn't react. But let's say that he had the same game but no reaction. Does the crowd tonight, is it worse? Is it better? Is it less than what it was because people don't think they're getting to him? I think him responding and interacting is only going to make that crowd now more amped up for tonight.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And that's to me.
But that could be a bad thing for the Celtics.
This is where it sort of, to me, becomes like a vicious cycle of sort of toxic behavior. You know, he does his thing. The crowd responds to that. Then he responds to the crowd. And it goes back and forth. And let me be clear. I was clear off the jump. Like, he looks worse than anybody. Right? I mean, it's worse for him. It's not equal. But I also just don't think I don't see the upside from the fan standpoint to continue in this manner. Like I said, you want to boo him.
Not the way he's playing.
But the idea of, you know, Kyrie, you're a B. Kyrie, you're a P. Kyrie, you're, you know. I just feel like we've reached a point where you've made your point. The guy knows how you feel about him. The sort of tit for tat back and forth is not really healthy, and it's not heading in a direction that's helping the team. That's how I feel about it.
All right, 617-779-0985. Big question about tonight is, how does Kevin Durant respond to his game one? You know, whether it's tied into the Kyrie stuff or not, he did not have a good game one, and I wonder how he comes out in game two, and how does he look in game two? How does he respond from a bad playoff performance to start this series? Jeff is in Nashua. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, Mark? Boys, what's happening? Happy 420, Boston.
Yes, for those who celebrate, you know, smoke them if you got them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so Kyrie says he wants to move on, but as usual, it's got to be on Kyrie's terms, you know, his own threshold, if you will. Well, guess what, Chief? That's not happening. That's not the way the world works, young cub. The legend of Kyrie is his signature lack of self-awareness, coupled with his overinflated sense of self, and those continue to blossom like a weed. Zen, peaceful, fasting Tyree sure seems to get triggered easily. So
he's hangry.
The flat yeah. earther.
Have a Snickers, Kyrie.
He's hangry.
You're not yourself.
Barth has headlines. He also has a, is it your theory about Kevin Durant?
Or is it an idea? It's an idea.
Okay, an idea that you were willing to share. Not necessarily your thought about Kevin Durant and how it relates to Kyrie and everything that went on the other night. Right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's fair.
A theory on that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Serious question. Yeah. Does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's rooted in love. They once loved you. They once cheered for you and bought your merchandise and had, you know, life-altering experiences coming to games watching you play. So when it kind of gets ripped from them from just something like a trade or demanding a trade or wanting to leave, like, they feel like a piece of them is gone too, you know? So it's an emotional attachment that they have to the professional sports. And I could say that's a gift and a curse of having a team in your city where you grew up. But, you know, it shows that people care and people have emotions and people really respect and admire who we are as individuals. Sometimes it gets a little dark and deep, but that's just how the human brain works. So we understand all of that, and the fans understand where we come from now at this point, too, because we all have our own platforms and we speak on stuff like this. So it's healthy once everybody understands both sides.
Kevin Durant yesterday talking about the back and forth between Celtics fans and Kyrie Irving. Alex Barth with us today, and you've got a theory. Or you've heard a theory about Kevin Durant's play in game one. What is it?
Yeah, so we talked about how all the stuff from the crowd really isn't getting to Kyrie, right? He's still playing at a high level. Is it possible it's getting to Durant? Like, I heard that clip. To me, he's trying to downplay it. Oh, no, it's all love. You know, this was what it is. It gets a little dark. Because think about it. Who has to deal with Kyrie after he deals with all of this? It's Kevin Durant, right? Is it possible that he's out there hearing all these cheers like, I got to talk this guy down after the game. I don't want to deal with that, right? So maybe it's getting to one of the Nets superstars, but maybe it's not, you know, the whole crowd situation. Maybe it's not the one we think it is.
No, that's
just
interesting.
A thought.
No, that's interesting. He's like, he's trying to, you know, just keep the peace down, play it because of what, you know, Alex is saying, that he just doesn't want to deal with the ups and downs of Kyrie. I mean, who's the Kyrie whisperer on that team? It's not Steve Nash. It's Kevin Durant. I mean, who's probably the only person in that organization that Kyrie respects?
Kevin Durant.
The only person that could say anything to him that he'll listen to.
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It's certainly not Steve Nash. They don't really have a coach, as Kyrie will tell you.
Yeah, they told. They
it's
said
evident.
They're
Steve
all
Nash.
The coach.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah,
they're
that's
all the
right.
coach.
We're all the coach.
So, yeah, wasn't there something, I think, early in the year when Kyrie wasn't playing that Durant was frustrated with him and that whole situation? I vaguely remember that being out there. So maybe he just doesn't want to deal with it. Maybe it's on his mind.
Could be.
I could see that. I mean, he's just trying to, because, you know, Durant.
He did not go to bat for Kyrie yesterday, though. I don't feel like he did.
No.
I felt like
he did not call out
to defuse the whole situation.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's trying to do. I don't think he was trying to call out Celtics fans.
Nope.
I don't think he tried to make a case that it was unacceptable. None of that. I would say Chris Gaspers made a stronger case against Celtics fans today than Kevin Durant did yesterday.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. 617-779-0985. Scott in Maine has something for Chris on his family phone plan. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Beatle, Chris,
yes.
Don't be ashamed about being on the family plan.
I have a family plane, and I've got all my kids on it, and they're your age. So you take the money and run, brother.
Well, so Barth and I were talking about this in the break, and I just want to clarify something. While I am on the family plan, I have to send money to my dad every month.
Oh, well, then that's I guess, better than just being on your dad's phone plan.
Yeah, no, I don't get it for free. I have to pay him every month.
Okay, that to me feels like a family group decision of,
it is.
Let's all just get on the same plan and share the cost.
I've attempted on multiple occasions to leave the family plan and been told that it's more beneficial for us to all be there together.
On the family plan.
But I do make monthly payments to my dad.
Okay.
For the family plan.
Okay, that to me feels better than what Derek Forbert, multi-millionaire athlete.
He just takes the free ride.
He just takes a free ride with his parents, with Mary's phone plan, and he's on that phone plan, and he says he pays it back by sharing his login to Showtime and like HBO Max.
Which they probably pay for.
Yeah, well, he claims that he pays for those.
I would say, as someone who has both of those...
And whose Netflix account are you sharing? Are you at liberty to say?
Well, I don't know, because Netflix is cracking down. I don't want to give them any ammunition.
Okay, right.
I don't want to give them any ammunition to do that.
Yes.
I also don't want people to find out how I'm watching Nessun. So, yeah.
Oh, that's right, because you're a cord cutter.
I am.
That's why you love the ESPN Plus games.
Yeah, when it works.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay. All right. So at least you pay for your family.
How do you watch Nessun? Through someone else's window?
No comment. No comment on how I would just say Nessun has a fantastic app.
Of course. They actually do have a good app. I will give them that.
Yeah, their app is great.
And quickly on Red Sox broadcast stuff. Obviously, we've talked about Maz, but Kevin Youkilis made his first regular season game, his debut last night. He's pretty good at this.
He was good.
Based on the spring training games that I had watched with him, he was doing it with, is it Mike Monaco?
Yep.
Local kid from the South Shore.
Cohasset's Finest.
Cohasset's Finest, who does a really good job. I watched a game that he had done with Monaco, or multiple games, and he was good in spring training, and it's carried over. So they've found some, nothing's going to replace Jerry Remy, but they've done a better job with fill-ins this year than they've ever done before. So they're not giving you... like Lenny DiNardo, and I know he's on postgame.
I like Lenny DiNardo.
He's fine. He's better at the desk. He's better at the desk.
Okay.
I think he's good at that job. They should keep him there.
I mean, I like.
They're not giving you Ellis Burks again.
Mike Timlin.
Ellis Burks is my all-time favorite.
Oh,
Red
my
Sox.
God. Mike Timlin or Johnny Gomes. No, Youkilis is good. He's actually good at it. He's better than any of those former players we just named.
I'm a big fan of Ack. I'd say I'm warming to Maz.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. I don't like the tone you just used there. I'm warming to Maz.
Yeah, I'm warming to him.
Damn.
How kind of you.
Wow. How long you been doing that afternoon, that Friday afternoon gig? And how much longer do you expect to be doing that gig?
That's a good question.
Matt's in Westboro. Hey, Matt.
All right, boys. First things first, Gasper, you ride out that family plan as long as humanly possible. I do the same thing. I send my folks $30 a month because I've looked into it. I'm not paying the extra money. Ride that out, baby. Don't you take any heat for that. No shame in the game. Switching gears, talking about Kyrie, he lacks so much social awareness. Like, I kind of relate this to when you're with your friends and everyone's giving each other a good ribbing. The more you feed into it, the more the fans are going to turn and twist the knife, right? So as the superstar athlete, you just don't engage. I know you got to take your crap when you're on the court, but the less you engage, the less you're going to get back from the fans.
Unless you want it. Unless you want it to happen and you want to thrive on it and you want to live off it.
But do you really think at this point, Kyrie's definitely stoking the fire. I agree with everything people have said about him being – he lacks self-awareness. He's definitely sort of self-centered. There's no question about that. And, he believes that there's nobody in the world who's smarter than Kyrie Irving. But at the same time, given sort of the level of enmity for Kyrie, do you really think if he didn't engage at all, people would not boo or would not say these things?
No, but I think it gets worse when you do engage. That's all. It would have happened. He would have faced all that same stuff that he faced on Sunday. No, I don't think they would have been any different.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of how I feel. I mean,
I think the difference might be tonight.
Yeah. I mean, tonight's going to be really interesting. I'm sort of hoping that he's on his best behavior, that we don't have more of these, you know, there's not more bird watching.
I'm not. I'm hoping for the whole thing all over again.
I show up to watch basketball. I'm not there for the bird watching.
You got plenty of great basketball on Sunday. You got a great game with a great, like, dramatic effect and backdrop to the entire day.
And how much have we talked about said game? Not much.
Well, Monday we did, the day after the game. Today's Wednesday. You got to remember, there's too much time between these games.
Okay.
Right?
Does this fit into the we have to do a talk show today?
Yeah, we're doing a talk show today. And tonight, going into this game, I think it's about how does Durant respond? Does he play well?
He has to.
Does Kyrie do it again? And I think that it's foolish to automatically assume, oh, no, he won't do that again. He's probably received a stern warning from the NBA.
He doesn't respond well to authority and people telling him what to do.
Thank you. And so I would not rule out him doing it all over again tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out either. And then I wouldn't rule out, like, you doing it again tomorrow when you're talking about him doing it.
Great. Yeah,
by accident.
Great.
So it's intrigue all around.
The world goes round and round.
So, you know, you have to tune in to NBC Sports Boston tonight for this game, and then you have to tune in tomorrow to see if Beadle accidentally, subconsciously, while talking about Kyrie, giving the bird or not giving the bird, gives you, the audience, the bird.
I never gave the audience the bird. I was just showing you the bird.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Incidental bird.
I had an
incidental bird in the 10:15 segment today.
I didn't see it.
I didn't even know I was doing it.
Are we absolutely sure you did this? Because you do talk with your
hands. Fowler texted me and said, yes, you did.
I need to see this video.
I was like,
I was looking right at you the whole time.
And I flipped up the bird. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I didn't even notice.
They're still yelling at me for that.
Oh, really?
Oh, you are the executive producer. You know, so sometimes that title,
not of the TV show,
carries extra responsibility to keep the talent in line. 617-779-0985. More on this. Also, we'll talk some football coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. So stick around for that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Phone lines are open if you want to jump on board. Game 2, Celtics tonight. I want to ask you about something related to Game 1, and that is Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter. I think saved his game and saved his day, which was huge for the Celtics with the winning basket. Because outside of that, Chris, Tatum had faded in the fourth quarter and did not have the impact on the game late as he did earlier in the game. What happened there? How does he avoid that going forward?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, an interesting question. I mean, he was minus 10. You know, plus minus can be deceiving, but he was minus 10 in the fourth quarter, and that basket was the only basket he made. He shot 1 for 4 in the fourth. So I don't know if it was fatigue from working at both ends or it was just sort of a situation where he wasn't getting the same caliber of looks. I mean, he only took 4 shots. That's not a ton of shots. But you would like him to be able to deliver when it matters most in the fourth. The thing I like about the Celtics, though, and this is what I thought about that final play to win the game, and I thought it was really instructive, not only of the game, but really what their mantra should be in the series. All 5 guys, starting with Horford, on that final play touched the basketball. I think if Tatum and Brown get locked into this, we have to go mano a mano with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. You know, it's duo versus duo, and we're going to outshine them on it. I think that's not good for the Celtics. The Celtics' strength is that they play team basketball, that their starting lineup, their rotation, their depth is better, more reliable, more versatile than the Brooklyn Nets. That's how they're going to win. And if you look at the game, it was almost like a relay race. you know, passing the baton from quarter to quarter. Al Horford has 10 points in the first quarter. JT goes off in the second quarter. He actually went off again in the third, but then you have Marcus Smart knocking down three threes there and contributing 11 points in the third. And then in the fourth, it was Jaylen Brown, who really hadn't had a very good game up until that point. You know, he's 4 of 7. He scores 9 points. So I think that's the formula for them, is to just sort of pass the baton and not put all the pressure on Tatum and Brown to have to deliver in the same way that Kyrie and KD do in order for Brooklyn to win.
I get that, and I like that about the Celtics, that there is more of a team element than a lot of teams have.
But
at some point, I want Jason Tatum to always be the guy in all four quarters at every turn of the game. And I view him as a better player than Brown. Tatum's the guy.
No, Tatum is the, yeah,
the superstar.
He's their best player.
I don't want to be like down on his day, because I think overall, you know, he was a huge part of the win.
Yeah, I mean, he made the game-winning shot.
Yeah, and so that play, but I do think that game-winning play with the help of Marcus Smart was what sort of saved his fourth quarter, right? Because you cannot give the fair amount of credit for a play like that in the moment and all of it.
But I think you were talking about this earlier, or was a caller.
Maybe.
If
it's really smart, I'll take credit for it.
Okay. Talking about Kyrie being really, like, you know, hell-bent on, I'm going to win this game.
That was me.
Okay. Yes. And so contrast that with, juxtapose that to Tatum letting everybody else touch the ball before him and then cutting to the hoop for the winning basket, and they get the easier shot.
That's
right?
Good. It's a great point. Yes.
And so, you know, if you're talking about Kyrie sort of being hell-bent and it was a really difficult shot, and as you said, you know, because he didn't give it up sooner, he created a difficult shot for Durant.
And the assists for Tatum in the first quarter were awesome.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the ball movement was terrific again early in the game out of the gate.
Yes.
So I want to give him credit for that, too.
And haven't we sort of been critical of Tatum in the past for not trusting the system, not trusting his teammates?
Yes, we have.
Well, this time he did, and it paid off big time.
All right. So credit to Tatum there. Another, obviously, big impact on the game was Al Horford in game one. Can Al Horford give the Celtics that every game of this series? And as much as I said yesterday that I think the time off benefits the Nets because they are not as deep. I mean, not even as deep in their starting rotation. Forget talking about the benches. I'm talking about your starting five. They're not as deep as the Celtics. And so I feel like it benefits the Nets a little bit to be able to have the extra day and to sort of re-up and get ready for game two. I also hope it helps Al Horford as part of that to have the extra day. Can he give them another performance like he did in game one, which is up there as one of his best games ever as a Celtic?
Yeah, I mean, 20 and 15, it was a monster performance from Al. And you look at it, you know, he had back trouble sort of down the stretch of the season. They were sitting him out of some of these games, and he plays basically 42 minutes in game one. That's a lot. I don't know if you can ask Al Horford to play 42 minutes and play at that level throughout the series. I mean, he's not, you know, look, the average Al, the people that don't really understand basketball that thought just because he was a max player that you were getting like Kevin Garnett. I mean, that was never the case. But you can see what he does for the team. He's sort of part of the connective tissue of the Celtics and the way that they play. And it's not a coincidence that when he plays well, they're at their best. That's not a coincidence. You know, when Al Horford is playing well, offensively, defensively, I thought it was huge. He came out and knocked down a couple of threes. The willingness just to take those shots and make sure that the defense has to extend on him. That started the way he started offensively, what he gives you. And if you know, if you watch that game, sometimes inside, because the Nets were playing so small, Nash was putting these lineups out there with like Patty Mills, Kyrie, and Goran Dragic. It was so small. It was like, you know, seventh grade gym class when some kids have hit their growth spurt and some kids haven't, and they're just playing above the rim with the Nets. That's what you were getting there with Horford and Tice.
Let's go to Ben. Take it away, Ben, on the Celtics.
Hey, guys. Just want to say thanks. Big fan. I just want to get your thoughts on Peyton Pritchard. You know, we saw him game one. He only played 8 minutes. He hit his only shot of the night, a three, I think. But he was a target on the other end. You know, they went at him constantly. So I wonder what you guys think of how he'll play out the next few games.
Yeah, I think it's tough because, you know, offensively, you obviously like what Peyton Pritchard does. You know, he brings an element of stretching the floor, and it's another ball handler there. But the Nets put up 114 points against you, and their guys can get it cooking when they need to, and they put up 114 without Durant really doing much. And that's what's kind of scary for this series. And the whole identity of the Celtics all year long has been on the defensive end. So I think there, Ime's going to lean towards defense as much as he can. And that maybe that's where your point, Beadle, about sort of the way the series is spaced out allows him to do that, mm-hmm. because you are playing your main guys some really, really heavy minutes. I mean, you know, I liked what I saw from Derek White, though, overall. I mean, it wasn't the greatest game statistically, but he does give you another guy. He does sort of give you that element of length and defense that you want to have in the court late.
All right, let's get to headlines. 90 seconds, and let's talk some football in this fourth and final hour, including some breaking news in the NFL as it relates to a big-name wide receiver. We'll get to that coming up after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.